Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 170 for the January 2022 solicitations. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items in the upcoming solicitations that you might find interesting. Now, comics are a pre-order business, so whether we like it or not, it behooves us to take a look at what's going to be offered a couple of months out and let our retailers know so they can order appropriately. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to promote the comics you love as often as you can. Now, there are thousands of items solicited every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle, or just fly beneath your radar. We'll be starting with the DC Connect catalog, followed by the Marvel's Previews catalog, and then working our way through the Diamond Previews catalog. Obviously, we aren't going to go item by item, or page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are picked by people like you. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is the pre-order catalogs of DC Connect, Marvel Previews, and Diamond Previews. I find these incredibly helpful to find out what's coming out a few months from now and kind of plan my order appropriately. Sometimes there's stuff that sounds good on paper, but I look at the art, or something about the solicitation doesn't work for me, or there's something that I wouldn't have noticed unless, you know, the art had caught my eye, or the solicitation looks pretty cool, or something like that. Matter of fact, there have been a couple of times where I'll see something and realize I missed the first two issues or something like that, and go order them. So just flipping through these catalogs is kind of my monthly equivalent of the old Sears Toys catalog when I was a kid, of, you know, finding out what cool things were out there to be had and then making sure I got them as best I could. So whether you get the printed catalogs or not, this information is available online at the various websites for the distributors and the publishers and such. Comics are a pre-order business. It makes sense to know what's coming out so you can let your retailer know so they can have it so you can get it. So once again, my first pick is the pre-order catalogs of DC Connect, Marvel Previews, and Diamond Previews.
Hey, this is James. I'm here with a pick, and I'm in the DC Supplemental. I'm using a digital version of the DC Connect because for the last basically 2 weeks, there have been no DC comics shipped to my comic shop. So there was nothing in the shipment. We're hoping for week three, we're going to get 3 weeks worth of DC Comics and maybe a Connect before the order forms due. But, you know, I'm just scrolling through here. The first thing that stood out, I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I think a lot of people are shouting it out, is it looks like it's on page 4, Batman Superman World's Finest. It's another Batman title, so that doesn't, you know, wow you. It's another Superman title, that doesn't wow you. Them together doesn't wow you. You've seen that before. But the thing that really was the thing that caught me is the creative team. You have Mark Waid writing for DC. Mark Waid has written, probably will continue to write, I don't think he's exclusive, for Marvel for years and years, and he never wrote at DC. He had been writing at DC in years past, but I guess there was some kind of dispute or something that happened between him and Dan DiDio. So now that Dan's gone, Mark's good with writing over at DC again. And this is his first trip back. And the art is by Dan Mora. I like Dan Mora's art. So give me Dan Mora, give me Mark Waid. It's going to be another Batman Superman book, but I'm okay with that. I just want to read this creative team. The other thing that I really appreciate about this comic is that it's $3.99. So no tacked on backup story, which has been the thing that I've come to loathe at DC. So I'm happy they're not doing that. So I'm definitely in on this one. I think everyone should pick this one up. On to my next pick.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. My first pick in the DC Comics Connect magazine is on page 4, with Batman Superman, World's Finest Number 1, written by Mark Waid, with art and cover by Dan Mora. And this is the cover I'll be getting. Variant covers are by Jim Lee, Stanley, Art Germ, Lau, and Jason Fabok. 2, 1, and 25 slap battle variant covers by Chip Zdarsky a 1 in 50 High Five variant cover by Evan Doc Shaner, and a 1 in 100 Seinfeld variant cover by Dan Mora. Also, there's a Team variant cover by Lee Weeks. The cover price is $3.99 for 32 pages for the regular edition, and the cardstock variant covers are $4.99. And this issue is scheduled to be on sale on March 15th. The Dark Knight, the Man of Steel, they are the two finest superheroes that the world has ever known, and they're together again in an epic new series from the legendary talents of Mark Waid and Dan Mora. In the not-too-distant past, Superman's powers are supercharged from a devastating chemical attack by the villain Metallo, and the only ally that the ultra-powerful Man of Tomorrow can turn to in this turbulent hour is Gotham's own Dark Vengeance, the Batman. A nearly fatal burst of power drives Bruce Wayne to his own extreme measures to help his friend, enlisting none other than the Doom Patrol for aid. It's the world's greatest superheroes from the world's greatest comic book talent and an epic comic book experience that kicks off the next big events in the DCU. Get ready, it's time to soar. Two things got me excited about this new series. First of all, the title World's Finest takes me back to my childhood, reading those classic World's Finest issues in the mid-1960s drawn by Kurt Swan. And the second is it being written by Mark Waid, one of the best comic book writers in the industry. My only very minor quibble is that I would prefer it titled Superman, Batman, World's Finest, but I can live with that. It looks like the creative team has come up with a great story to begin this first issue, so I can't wait to read Batman, Superman, World's Finest, number one.
So we're going to start with the DC Connect. We've got the January DC Connect, so these are comics come out in March. In March, they start to... The release schedule starts to loosen up a little bit. We're starting to get some good stuff.
There you go.
So let's see what DC has for us. Great Superman cover with Mark Waid and Dan Mora on the cover. Ooh, can't wait to get to that. What is that? But no, we're going to bury that one. That one's not going to be first. We get to World's Finest. Mark Waid back in the fold. He had the long-running feud with Didio. They just didn't see eye to eye, so he didn't work for DC anymore. He's gone, and now Mark Waid can come back to DC, which is really cool. Dan Mora on art interiors.
I love Dan Mora.
That's going to be fantastic. So we're going to get Batman and Superman stories in World's Finest relaunch. It's going to do really well at first, and like all pseudo-anthology books, it's going to slowly fall down. I love them, but it won't have the sustained sales. I hope I'm wrong.
Drew, we have a one. Oh, there it is. The 1 in 100 Seinfeld variant. Jerry Seinfeld and the Batmobile getting coffee.
That's dumb.
All right. I wasn't sure where you were going to go now. I thought maybe you'd like it. Never mind.
I like the Chip Zdarsky covers better.
Yeah, I love it. The slaps. Art Germ. That Art Germ is awesome.
Which one is that?
If you look at the very first page to the left, it's the Batgirl. Supergirl.
Oh, yeah. That's also nice.
Yeah. Cannot beat that. That's dope. And I like the cover A. Cover A is really good, too.
Oh, yeah.
The classic stuff.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I would love that comic. Be glad it's back. I would have rather had, like, Brave and the Bold, maybe, with some maybe more variations and characters. But I bet you they do a lot of cool characters.
Yeah.
A lot of older characters you haven't seen for a while. That'll be fun.
And do you like the 1 in 25 slap variant?
Yes, I said I did. I like both the Zdarsky's.
That's Zdarsky. Gotcha. That's the Zdarsky.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, yeah, people are going to be excited about this. I am too. I can't wait, and I love this sort of thing. And, you know, hopefully they dredge up some cool old stuff. Mark Waid's a great writer, and if he can get a good run going, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, check that out. On page 6, I think, in the DC Connect. And don't forget to check Kyle and Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit out at wherever you listen to podcasts, I guess.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this one's also in the DC Supplemental. It's on page 12. This one's going to be a quick one. It's a mini-series. Naomi, Season 2, Number 1. It's a 1 of 6, so you're only in for 6 issues. And you have Brian Michael Bendis and David F. Walker as the writers. And you have the art being Jamal Campbell. Jamal Campbell's a great artist, so I think that'll be good. The character, we saw her come out, I think it was like two and a half years ago. Honestly, I can't remember. Whenever Bendis came over to DC, he came out with Naomi. And lately we've seen her on the Justice League, but she hasn't had her own title. And she, I wouldn't say she's like a favorite character. No, she's just a character. I was there from the genesis of her. So I'm definitely still reading her. Want to read this because this is going to tell us about the truth and the mysteries around her powers, because we don't know a lot about this character's background. So we'll get a little bit more in here. So on to my next pick.
Dr. Mo here with the DC pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Catwoman, Lonely City, number 3-4. When this project first came on my radar back in the late spring, early summer of 2021, I kind of really just shrugged my shoulders and pushed it aside. It was yet another Black Label title featuring a Bat character in a separate continuity. I just sort of shrugged my shoulders and was thinking, do I really need this? Now, granted, the writer and artist for this series was Cliff Chang. I've known, or rather familiar with Cliff Chang's artwork going back to the mid-2000s, when Cliff Chang was doing backup features in the pages of Greg Rucka's Detective Comics run. The pre-Batwoman run, that is, to be more specific. And he was working on the Josie Mack backup. And I really liked it. I think that Chang's style is, you know, really, I think, simpler lines, but it communicates so much, whether it's expression, whether it's action sequences. It's really good at capturing environments. So I really have always enjoyed Cliff Chang's artwork. Certainly picked up his run on Wonder Woman during the New 52 with Brian Azzarello. I have some of the issues of Brian K. Vaughan and Cliff Chang's Paper Girls. So again, very versatile artist, in my opinion, a very solid artist. But again, I was really doubtful about whether or not I should invest in this title. Fast forward to Baltimore Comic Con 2021. There was a panel at Baltimore Comic Con featuring Cliff Chang, Brian K. Vaughan. The panel was primarily to promote Paper Girls. There's a Paper Girls omnibus coming out. There's a forthcoming Paper Girls series on Amazon Prime. Brian K. Vaughan talked about Saga. And there was this energy throughout the panel focused and centered on Catwoman, Lonely City. The first issue had just dropped. And even throughout the convention, there was this buzz about this book. I went to other panels with other creators, and it was mentioned at other panels. And so I decided I had to at least get issue 1. So I went, when I got home, I picked it up from my LCS, and I really enjoyed it. So I added it to my pull list. Now, if you're not familiar with the premise of Catwoman Lonely City, it is essentially, you know, criminal gets out of prison. In this case, Catwoman, after serving a 10-year stint for the death of Batman, has come back to a new Gotham, has to adjust to the new Gotham, but again, in order to make a living, has to fall back into their old ways. In the case of Catwoman, obviously, again, because it's drawing from a heist, you know, trope, Catwoman has to powder steal again. But again, Catwoman in this case is 10 years older. Gotham City is a very different animal. How does Catwoman navigate this? Catwoman doesn't have the allies that she once had. Two-Face is now the mayor, and there is a quote-unquote Batman SWAT team, you know, that's patrolling Gotham. When I read issue 1, it very much evoked in my mind the Ed Brubaker, Darwyn Cook, Catwoman series of the early 2000s, you know, like a future version of that. But I will say I really enjoyed the second issue. It really does continue building the momentum. I think that if you are going to invest and pick up this series, certainly you have to get issue one. Now, whether you get it in single or wait till it's a collected edition, you know, that depends on you. I will say for me, one of the reasons why I once I decided to get on board, I decided to go with the single issues is because it's coming out at a bi-monthly cadence. And while it has remained, it's been hitting its deadlines in terms of coming out, I suspect we will not get a collected version of this until like probably fall or late 2022. So Catwoman, Lonely City, number 3, can be found on page 22 of DC Connect and costs $6.99.
Hi, this is Michael, and I go by Super Flash Adam 1980 on the forum. My pick for the DC section is from the DC Connect, page 31, and it's DC League of Super Pets, The Great Mix-Up, I guess you would pronounce it. And this is, I guess, continuation of the movie that's going to be coming out in May as well. And, you know, I like pets, and I'm kind of looking forward to the movie. So I think I'm hoping this is going to be a good read. But if not, I'm hoping to take my nephews to watch the movie. And if I don't like it, they could probably enjoy it as well. All right, so this is DC League of Super Pets, The Great Mixing Up on page 31 on the DC Connect magazine.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Comics Connect magazine is on page 34 with Action Comics number 1041. Written by Philip Kennedy Johnson and Sean Aldridge. Art and main cover by Ricardo Federici and Adriana Mello. There's also another cover by Daniel Sampier and Alejandro Sanchez. And a variant cover by Julian Totino Tedesco. The regular edition cover price is $4.99 for 40 pages and $5.99 for the cardstock variant cover, and it's scheduled to be on sale March 22nd. Rematch. Superman puts what he's learned on War World to the test as he faces Mongol's unstoppable, reanimated warrior known as the Unmade. But it may be too late for Mongol to salvage his empire before an ancient prophecy is fulfilled. One of Superman's inner circle will fall, another will be resurrected at a terrible cost, and the Authority's traitor will be revealed in the conclusion to part one of the War World saga. This storyline looks to be one of Superman's greatest challenges, and the solicit seems to hint at a very complex and extended storyline. However, it's still holding my interest, so I'm looking forward to Action Comics number 1041.
Dr. Mo here with the DC pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Justice League Incarnate number 5. So we've reached the end of this miniseries and the next chapter in the overall DC multiversal saga as the Justice League Incarnate has been battling the forces of Darkseid, and according to the solicitation text, perhaps her own inner darkness, and themselves. Now, I will say that I have been enjoying this miniseries quite a bit, again, along with the previous miniseries, Infinite Frontier, which continues to build upon the plotline of a great darkness coming, Darkseid running rampant in the multiverse. Justice League Incarnate, for instance, has had these really wild, absolutely wild sequences and matchups, and you know DC's version of the Marvel universe, and we got like a little sneak peek of a certain Avengers villain, or at least an MCU villain, and how they would fare in the DC universe. I thought it was hilarious. I really think that one of the fun and one of the strongest aspects of DC, in my opinion, has always been the multiverse. And I think that writer Joshua Williamson and Dennis Culver really are playing in that sandbox of multiversity that Grant Morrison set up a few years ago, and just be playing with the toys and seeing how far they can push things. The artwork for this issue and for the majority of this miniseries is Andre Breslin, and excuse me for butchering the artist's name. I know that Joshua Williams and the artist worked on an image series, Birthright, for a very long time. So they really seem to gel fairly well. I think, to me, one of the things that has hindered this book is the fact that oftentimes issues are split up and you have multiple artists in this five-issue miniseries. Sometimes I think some of the artists work better than others. I do enjoy the fact that they have brought in some more of the fourth world elements which accompanies Darkseid. I mean, that's just a natural. Having Orion show up, it kind of makes sense. So hopefully Williamson and Culver can land this plane, set up what will be the next stop on the DC event or pre-event bus. I am certainly here for it. I think that if you really want to understand and know where the DC universe is going as a whole, you need to be picking up this series. Justice League Incarnate number 5 of 5 can be found on page 38 of the DC Currents magazine and costs $4.99.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Comics Connect magazine is on page 39 with Justice League vs. the Legion of Superheroes number 3 of 6. Written by Brian Michael Bendis with art and cover by Scott Gudlowski, and that's the cover I'll be getting. The variant cover is by Travis Moore. The cover price is $3.99 for 32 pages in the regular edition, and the cardstock variant cover is $4.99 and is scheduled to be on sale March 8th. The Justice League is trapped in the 31st century with the Legion of Superheroes, while the looming terror of the Great Darkness hovers over both time periods simultaneously. Even as the great heroes of the 21st century get to experience the fantastic far-flung future, the mysteries behind the Gold Lantern and the Great Darkness threaten all of existence. What is the secret behind the Great Darkness? And will the greatest heroes of two ages be able to stop it before it's too late? As a Legion fan, I'm glad to see them in a mini-series again. And after this storyline is over, I hope that we will get to see the Legion appear in another series in the near future. Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Comics Connect magazine is on page 41 with Superman, Son of Kal-El, number 9. Written by Tom Taylor, with art and cover by Bruno Redondo, and a variant cover by Travis Moore and Tamra Bonvillain. There's also an International Women's Day variant cover by Janaina Medeiros. The cover price of the regular edition is $3.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant cover is $4.99, and is scheduled to be on sale March 8th. Superman Nightwing Crossover Part 2 of 2. Nightwing promised Clark Kent that while he's off-planet, Nightwing would look after Clark's son, John, as he tries to fill his father's shoes as Superman. But with someone out there murdering superpowered people, is Nightwing in over his head? Read Nightwing number 89 in stores February 15th for Part 1 of this crossover story. I missed the solicit for part one of this story, so I won't be getting Nightwing number 89. I'll just have to hope the creative team kind of gets me up to speed at the beginning of this issue so that I can enjoy another issue of Superman Son of Kal-El.
My first pick is on page 41 of the DC Connect catalog. It is Superman Son of Kal-El number 9. This is the second part of the team-up of Nightwing and the new Superman John Kent. Got the creative team of Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo, who are knocking it out of the park over on Nightwing. Like I said, this is the second part. The first part was in Nightwing last month. Now, Billy's already mentioned it, so there's really not much more for me to say, but check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick in the DC Comics Connect catalog is on page 43 with World of Krypton number 4 of 6. Written by Robert Venditti and art by Michael Avon Oeming. The main cover is by Miku Suoyan, which is the one I'll be getting, and the cardstock variant cover is by Odd Koch. The cover price is $3.99 for 32 pages and $4.99 for the cardstock variant cover. And this issue is scheduled to be on sale March 1st. The Trial of the Millennium, as Jor-El and his brother investigate the mysterious mass extinction events ravaging the Krypton's natural world, a much more public event holds the planet's attention. A member of the House of El stands trial for aiding violent revolutionaries. As all of Krypton watches, a betrayal is revealed that threatens to shatter the long-standing friendship between Jor-El and General Zod. I'll be getting the first issue of this miniseries in my next shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, so I'm looking forward to reading The World of Krypton. I loved Michael Avon Oeming's art in his creator-owned series Powers, also written by Brian Michael Bendis, and I'm looking forward to seeing his version of Krypton.
Hey everyone, Chris Brawley again. So glad to be back here on the Comic Book Page Podcast monthly previews episode. If you're ever looking to criticize me, you can find me on the Slack channel as Brawlinator. And my first selection is from the back of DC Connect. Like most of my picks this month, this one is a collected trade, and it's on page 44 of the DC catalog. It's Batman vs. Bigby, A Wolf in Gotham, Volume 1, trade paperback. Last year, Bill Willingham brought back his award-winning Vertigo comic series, Fables, for DC's Black Label, promising more gritty adventures from his fairy tale universe. With the announcement, Willingham and DC also announced a relaunch was going to start with this six-issue crossover. So this is a limited series of only six issues. It's all collected in this trade, and it's Batman vs. Bigby, A Wolf in Gotham, featuring Bill Willingham writing, of course, with Brian Level, Jay Leaston, and Lee Lowridge providing illustration, inks, and colors. This is basically an old-fashioned murder mystery. Several bodies are found across Gotham. They all look like they've been mauled by a large animal. Batman looks into it and reaches out to several Robins to investigate alongside him. Now, Bigby is from Willingham's very enjoyable Fables series. I don't want to give too much away. This is definitely a Black Label book, though. Features some pretty shocking scenes of torture and dismemberment. But as the mystery unfolds through the series, the two protagonists, of course, eventually come together, just like the story does. And it's got a lot of background details that start to get filled in, and the third act is a real barn burner. I think you should check it out. If you liked Fables, or you're just a Batman fan, or you just want a fun crossover mystery story, check out Batman vs. Bigby, A Wolf in Gotham, over on page 44 of the DC Connect this month.
Hey John, this is Nick with a pick from the DC Connect catalog. It's the Phantom Stranger Omnibus on page 45 of that catalog. The description in the previews catalog is a little short, so I found a solicitation from, I think, the first time that this was actually listed for sale and then canceled, and hopefully it applies to the same information, the price is the same, and the page numbers are the same. So I'm going to go ahead and jump over to that here. This is what you would find if you click on the Amazon listing currently. It says, first introduced in 1952, the Phantom Stranger stands decades later as one of DC's most enigmatic characters, a supernatural hero whose origins have remained shrouded in mystery. This omnibus collects the Phantom Stranger's earliest adventures in the 1950s, his late 1960s revival, and early 1980s stories in the pages of the Saga of the Swamp Thing. Through it all, the Phantom Stranger has remained one of DC's most unique characters, navigating the weird, scary side of the DC universe. Collects The Phantom Stranger, number 1 through 6, from 1952 series, The Phantom Stranger, 1 through 41, the 1969 series, stories from the Saga of the Swamp Thing, 1 through 13, Who's Who, The Definitive Directory of the DC Universe, number 18, The Brave and the Bold, number 89, 98, 145, Showcase, number 80, Justice League of America, 103, House of Secrets, number 150, DC Superstars, number 18, Secret Origins, number 10, and DC Comics Presents, numbers 25 and 72. All this adds up to 1,184 pages for a cost of $125. And, I mean, I hope it has all of that in there because that's a lot of content. And I think will be a great accompaniment on my shelf for the Spectre Omnibus and the Deadman Omnibus. For one of the, I guess you would call it mystery characters of the past from DC that has a cult following, and I've always appreciated some of the stories that I've read here and there over the years, so I'm looking forward to hopefully owning a pretty good chunk of his publishing history.
Sprawlinator again, and my next pick is on page 46 of the DC catalog. It's far more whimsical than my last selection, though. This is something I've actually wanted to see collected for years. And with the recent, I guess, revival of interest in pets in the DC universe, this should definitely scratch that itch. It's the first collected trade of dozens of comic stories featuring the super pets. And I don't think this is anything like this has been collected in the past. I could be wrong. Finally, the adventures of Crypto the Superdog, Streaky the Supercat, Ace the Bat-Hound, and all of them can be found in one collection, and any fan of the Super Pets should enjoy these stories collected together. This softcover collection includes stories from Action Comics, dozens of issues, Batman 125, Adventure Comics, several dozen more, Superman 176, Wonder Woman 23, and Superboy 76. It's really stories from well over 100 comics. Of course, most of these are probably 8 pages, 4 pages, 2 pages, maybe even just 1 pagers. But I think this would be fun and a fascinating tour through the history of DC Super Pets. You can check it out yourself. The solicit's on page 46 of this month's previews.
My next pick is on page 47 of the DC Connect catalog, and it's the Who's Who Omnibus Volume 2. Now, this volume's a little bit different than the previous volume. It is collecting Who's Who in the Legion of Superheroes number 1 through 7. This was an actual comic book format thing focused on the Legion of Superheroes. So there's all kinds of obscure 30th century characters there. It's awesome. It also collects Who's Who in the DC Universe number 1 through 16 of the Loose Leaf Edition and the two-issue Who's Who Update 1993, also of the Loose Leaf Edition. These tended to have one side that had the character, the other side had kind of the information. Honestly, I didn't find this as good of a volume as the original, but, you know, hey, I've got to go pick this stuff up. Now, after all of those Who's Who collections, they kind of shifted over to the Secret Files and Origins name for various one-shots instead of Who's Who. But, you know, for my money, it's time for a Who's Who in the DC Omniverse, or whatever they're calling the new grand beyond universe, beyond multiverse thing. They've got a ton of characters out there, a ton of worlds. I think it's time for them to dive in and go do this. We'll see if this Who's Who Omnibus is a precursor to that or not. Don't know. There had been plans to do a Who's Who around the time of the New 52. It just never materialized. Either way, I'm a process junkie, so I love this kind of stuff. So I'm going to be picking up the Who's Who Omnibus Volume 2 on page 47 of the DC Connect.
Hey, this is James in the Marvel supplemental for my first pick from Marvel. And the thing that I was going to call out is right here when you first open up the page. The title's on page 2, but the write-up about it is on page 3, so it's on page 2-3. And it is Immortal X-Men number 1, written by Kieran Gillen, and the art is Lucas Wernick. And Lucas Wernick, I'm not familiar with. but they have a sample of the cover in here by Mark Brooks, and it's a beautiful cover. I like it. So what it says here about the Immortal X-Men, the Quiet Council rules Krakoan Age for better or worse, now shaken by Inferno. And by the way, I just finished reading Inferno, and the Quiet Council could have been completely altered by decisions that were made in there, and that still remains to be seen how that plays out. I thought it was really cool. Some characters are kind of painted into a corner, and if they would have made a choice one way, they may not have been on the council. They would have made a choice the other way. Anyways, I'm not going to spoil it, but it was really good. But it says, now shaken by Inferno and X Lives, X Deaths of Wolverine, which I have not read yet. It's not out. They strive to hold together no matter how much they want to tear each other apart. And it goes on and on and on. I think this is going to be really cool because it's spilling out of everything that happened with Inferno in this X Lives and X Deaths of Wolverine, which I have not read up. It's coming out this month and next month. This will be a new number one. And I'm definitely on board because the X-Men has some things that are really, really cool. And this, I think, will be one of them. On to my next pick.
Dr. Mo here with a Marvel pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Immortal X-Men number one. So yes, we're getting another X-Men number one. And it just felt like yesterday. And it probably was yesterday when Marvel released another X-Men number one. And, you know, based on a number of factors, it's either a cause of celebration and adding it to your pull list or just skip it entirely. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you that there are several reasons why you definitely want to pick up Immortal X-Men if you are a fan of the ongoing Krakoan narrative. Number one, the writer. It's Kieran Gillen. Kieran Gillen is returning to the X-Men franchise after over 10 years, easily. Gillen came on board the X-Line initially back in the late 2000s. He was passed the baton from Matt Fraction. He brought the what was then called the first volume of Uncanny X-Men to a close. He started a second volume, which also featured the AVX storyline, and he subsequently left the franchise post-AVX, if I remember correctly. Now, what is one of the significant things that Gillen brought to the table during his X-Men run, he played with this notion of the multiple sinisters, each of them having these weird personalities and so forth, which is a trope that has been taken and run with, particularly during the Krakoan era. We certainly had Lady Sinister and some other iterations prior to Krakoa, but the multiple variants of Sinister, Kieran Gillen really, really played that up. And Gillen has been doing press promoting Immortal X-Men. I know he did a interview on the podcast off panel with David Harper. In that interview, Gillen mentions that, you know, we already know that it's a Quiet Council book. I mean, it's basically the covers give it away. It's on the tin. Now, what Gillen also stressed is that he believes this would have been the book that Jonathan Hickman would have probably been writing if Hickman was still in the X office. This book, Immortal X-Men, will be the spine of the X-Men franchise. If you want everything that's involving Krakoan politics, this is the book to come to. Gillen also mentions he likes the opportunity to play with some of the characters that, you know, certainly weren't around the first time he was writing X books, like Exodus and so forth, who, I believe, fairly positive that Exodus didn't appear in, during his last run of Uncanny X-Men. So there's really a lot there. I really am looking forward to it based on Gillen's pedigree alone. Now on the art side, Lucas Warnock is providing the visuals. Certainly, at least initially, we know how Marvel is. They launch a book with an artist and then most of the time in the contemporary era, that artist is going to be cycled off and may or may not come back. Warnock, you know, he did some work on Marauders. He did, most recently did the Trial of Magneto. I think Warnock is growing into a really nice visual artist. Certainly loves to do some really interesting panels based on what I recall from Trial of Magneto. Interesting what these two do together. Gillum has a way of just pushing his artists to create some really exciting visuals that meshes with his scripts. So I see no reason why the same can't happen here. Mark Brooks is providing the cover, at least to issue one. What I like about the Mark Brooks covers, certainly during the Krakoan era, I always look for the visual clues in the cover just to kind of see what's going on. There's some interesting clues. We already know, like, certainly that something's going on with, you know, it's cute. You know, he has, like, Magneto's helmet and, like, Cyclops' visor, you know, the point to, you know, these two other folks who at one point were on the Quiet Council. So it'll be curious to see, you know, perhaps they're going to add somebody new to the Quiet Council. I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, Immortal X-Men can be found on pages two through four of the Marvel Previews catalog. The first issue costs $5.99. I suspect it'll come down after hopefully. I really do hope that it will come down after the launch issue, which is, you know, an oversized issue.
Let's talk Marvel. Can we talk Marvel?
Yes, Drew and I, as part of a speculation podcast, love to go through the previews before they come out 2 months prior, kind of talk about what our thoughts are on the new books, what direction Marvel's going, and what we think we're going to add to our order. We are going to share that adventure with you and probably make fun of what Marvel's doing in their solicits. So we've put up our digital Marvel previews, and we are going to see what stops.
Now, Wolverine Patch, the first issue of 5... issue series.
Larry Hama.
So G.I. Joe Larry Hama gonna do a Wolverine book.
Ooh, it's like 007. Okay, all new action, intrigue, and espionage awaits you as legendary creator Larry Hama returns with a story set before his original run on Wolverine. The mutant known as Logan has made a name for himself on the mysterious island of Madripoor, where the locals know him as Patch. From their haunt at the Princess Bar, what starts as a simple recon mission lands Patch and Archie knee-deep in a paramilitary struggle that will surface some surprise revelations and characters. And is that Nick Fury, director of the S.H.I.E.L.D.? It sure is. Two patches for the price of one. I see what they did there. A must-have for long-standing readers and a welcome entry point for new readers of Wolverine.
Yeah, this has got a lot of good things going for it.
Five-issue series. $4 a piece? They're not gouging us?
No gouging. Larry Hama, known quantity right there. I like a lot of the stuff about this.
All right.
I think this is something I could get behind. I really like that main cover with all the espionage look to it, the Delgado cover. It's really nice. But all four of those covers are pretty fantastic, the two covers. Great interior art. It looks fantastic, too. I mean, 32 pages, $3.99. What's not to like about this?
Yeah, there's an option right there. I like it.
Yeah, so I'm pretty anti-X books, but this one I can get on board with. So you think you'd check this out?
So you're saying there's a chance. I'm interested in this.
You've been burned by Wolverine in the past, but would you be interested in this one?
Yes, this one. But I bought so many. Yeah, I was going to say, I bought a lot of garbage Wolverine is what I'm saying.
Yeah. This one looks to be good, and you're in, you're out, five issues. So, yeah, check that out, right?
100%.
And after you check out Wolverine, why not check out Comics for Fun and Profit with Kyle and Drew?
Dr. Mo here with a Marvel pick for the preview spotlight episode is Captain Carter, number one. So in my opinion, one of the fan favorite characters in the MCU of 2021 was Captain Carter. Peggy Carter, who had the super soldier serum This character appeared in the What If animated series, and I think was certainly one, in my opinion, one of the breakout characters from that show. Now, the notion of Peggy Carter receiving the Super Soldier Serum was not derived from What If. It predated that show. I certainly remember a version of Captain Carter in the third volume, I believe, of Exiles from 2018 or something like that. That version of Peggy Carter with the Super Soldier Serum went by Captain America and wore the Captain America iconography and so forth. Captain Carter, as shown on the cover of this 5-issue miniseries, wears the Union Jack, clearly is some sort of variation on the Captain Carter from What If, and that's what we're going to get. The series is being written by Jamie McKelvey. Jamie McKelvey, for probably a lot of people, is primarily known as an artist. He wrote and drew a Image series many years ago, probably the late 2000s, somewhere around there, called Suburban Glamour. It was a really short 4-issue miniseries. It was really cute. It was really fun. I remember it. I enjoyed it, probably more the visuals than anything else, but the story wasn't half bad. McKelvey is primarily known for collaborating with Karen Gillan on The Wicked and Divine through Image Comics, their run of Young Avengers at Marvel. But we're really going to get a different role for Jamie McKelvey with this series, which will be interesting because he's supposed to be writing and drawing a new Image series that was announced some time ago, but is yet to come out. So I'm kind of curious about to see the writing of 2022 Jamie McKelvey versus 2008 Jamie McKelvey. Just see how this McKelvey has grown as a writer. The artwork is being provided by Mika Kreska, who is primarily, no, at least for me, as working on the Star Wars Dr. Aphra series. I can't remember which volume. It's been several volumes of that book now. So one of the volumes, Mika Kreska was the primary artist on that series. This Captain Carter series is only 5 issues. So I think that for me, it is an interesting, like, sort of low stakes investment that I feel like I can get in and get out. And hopefully if it's a really good story and it pops, maybe just given the heat behind this character, Marvel will decide to do either another miniseries or something more ongoing, which, you know, these days an ongoing is just a miniseries until it's canceled or rebooted. It's the Marvel way. So Captain Carter, number one, can be found on pages 14 and 15 of the Marvel catalog, and the first issue costs $3.99.
My next pick is on page 14 of the Marvel previews. It is Captain Carter number 1. Now, based on the design variant cover, I don't know if that's just a design they didn't use, but the costume looks a little different than what we got in What If. Again, this character did not originate in What If, as Mo pointed out. It did show up in Exiles or a version of the character or whatever. Either way, I think it's a cool character. I like kind of the What If premise. I like Captain America. I want to see where they take this version of the character and stuff in a 5-issue series. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. So once again, that's Captain Carter number 1 on page 14 of the Marvel previews.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here. I am coming to you from the Marvel's preview section. We're on page 16. We're looking at Carnage number 1. Ram V is the writer. Francesco Mana is the artist, and the first cover by Kendrick Lim. There's a bunch of covers. This is number 1. You know how they do. The only reason why I say collect this Carnage is because Ram V has carved a perfect home for himself in the symbiote corner of the MU. And this all-new ongoing series starring Venom's most notorious offspring, that corner is about to get a little bit bigger and bloodier. After Revelations of Carnage Forever, which I have, I just didn't read all, in a year that is set to be celebrating all things Carnage, this one symbiote story you cannot afford to miss. A little spoiler alert, Carnage sheds Cletus Kasady and is looking for a new host. So that will be interesting, and that'll be a collector's book, I'm sure. And I think it's worth picking up. All right, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental. And this time I'm on page 18, and the cover art's over on page 19. And it is Venom Lethal Protector number 1 of 5. So it's a 5-issue miniseries, and I always butcher the names, but Dave Michelini, I'm assuming that's how you say his name, the writer, and Ivan Fiorelli, the artist. And it looks pretty cool. But the thing that I thought was cool here, and the reason why I'm recommending this, I am not enjoying the current run by Ram V of Venom since Donnie Cates left. Just not as good, and it got really weird with Venom kind of floating around in space, and you know, he's a god, a deity, his son's back. It's just very bizarre. I don't like this space god Venom. It just doesn't work for me. So we get over here, and it says, an epic return. Before Carnage and space gods, clones and toxins, and the revelation that he was a father, Eddie Brock was a down and out of his on his luck reporter who had tried to take his own life and had been saved by an extraterrestrial alien. It says this is an all new story set in the character's earliest days, and the co-creator, Dave Michelini, writes it, and it's a new horror thing, but it's back from the early days of Venom. When all of us first read Venom, we probably enjoyed the character a lot, so this is going to go back to the past, and it's something that I want to revisit. I'm not liking the current Venom. Cool. Give me a story from the past. So I saw this. I'm like, creator of Venom sounds good to me. Let's do this. And here we are. So I think this will be a good little miniseries. You're only in for 5 issues, and then it'll be done. And if you're like me and you're not liking the current run, go back to the past. Back to the future, maybe. All right. Next pick. Hey, this is James back with another number one for Marvel. This time it's on page 22, and this one I'm pretty excited for. It is The Punisher number one. Jason Aaron is the writer, and Jesus Saez and Paul Azaceta are the artist. I love the art by Jesus Saez. I'm butchering the names, I'm sure I am, but I think he's a terrific artist. The one thing that got me on this, I'm not going to read you the solicit. The solicit basically tells you that it's going to be The Punisher. What brings him to take on the most lethal group of assassins in the Marvel Universe, also known as The Hand, basically. He's going to be taking on The Hand. So it ties into probably some, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some Daredevil stuff in this, some Elektra in this, which would be great, as Punisher fits in with all that. Maybe even bring in Spider-Man. But Jason Aaron does better on individual characters when he is writing them in their book than he does on team books. Give him a team book, more times than not, he falls on his face, as I am currently watching with his Avengers run. In my opinion, he's falling flat on his face. Whereas when he was writing Thor, a single character, he did really well with that. I think he also does a lot better writing darker takes on characters. I know that sounds kind of Tom King-ish, and nobody's really a fan of Tom King. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that are fans of Tom King. I'm not one of them. But he does it in a non-depressing manner that makes you, you know, unhappy that you're here on the Earth. But he writes, takes a dark take, a realistic tone with characters who are living on the edge. I think he does great when he's writing Conan, when he's writing Thor. I think he's going to do terrific when he's writing The Punisher. So I'm excited for this. I think they got the right creative team here. And I think this is going to be pretty, I don't want to say brutal, but it's going to be pretty, almost like a Netflix series. So think of the Netflix series. I think that's what you're going to get in this comic. So I'm on board for this. And on to my next pick.
My next pick is on page 24 of the Marvel Previews. It is What If Miles Morales number 1 of 5. Now, they did something like this, or are doing something like this, with Gwen of Gweniverse and stuff, or Gwen Stacy of her being different characters. They look to be doing the same sort of thing of what if Miles Morales was, you know, Captain America in this case. I'm curious and going to see where else they go in this miniseries and stuff. Again, I like these kind of what if stories and such. So I'm going to be picking up What If Miles Morales, number 1 of 5, on page 24 of the Marvel previews.
Billy Hogan again. My only pick in the Marvel catalog is on page 51 with Fantastic Four, number 42, written by Dan Slott, with art by Rachel Stott. Cover A is by Kefu, and this is the cover I'll be getting. And Mike Allred draws a Carnage Forever variant cover. The title of this story is Brother Against Brother. One of the most pivotal planets in the Marvel Universe faces imminent destruction. Jennifer Walters, the sensational She-Hulk, finally learns her part in the chaos. And in the middle of all this carnage, two lifelong friends will have a battle to the death. Prepare yourself for The Thing versus Mr. Fantastic, rated T+, and is scheduled to be in shops on March 30th for the cover price of $3.99. I'm really enjoying reading the Fantastic Four again. They've always been my favorite Marvel title, going back to the classic Lee and Kirby days in the mid-1960s, and the series is just as good as it was back then.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental, and this time I'm on page 52, where we get something that the first time it was a hit, the second time, it was a little bit of a miss for me, and this one I'm hoping for a hit. It's called Hulk Grand Design Monster, number 1. Now, the creative team is different. This is Jim Rugg, creative team, the creative guy. Jim Rugg is the writer and the artist. We've had some other Grand Design that were done over at Marvel, but it's basically, you know, it's saying the acclaimed Grand Design franchise continues. Writer-artist Jim Rugg follows the tradition of Ed Piskor and Tom Scioli. One of them did a Fantastic Four, the other one did X-Men, and one I liked, one I didn't like. But basically, it's going to be the full saga of the Incredible Hulk from the very beginning to the present. Witness the biggest moments in the Hulk history through the eyes of a single visionary storyteller. So if you want to get caught up on everything in your Hulk history, this will probably be a miniseries, I'm guessing, like the others, 5-6 issues, probably tops. And it'll kind of encapsulate everything in one little run, telling you all the biggest moments. You know, the first time the Hulk bumped into Wolverine. Here's how he became the Hulk. Here's where he was gray. Here's where he was in Las Vegas. Here's the Mr. Fix-It persona. Here's this, here's that. I think it'll be a terrific way to just kind of encapsulate everything in a short thing. And I'm a big Hulk fan. Hulk's my favorite superhero character. So when I saw the Hulk and Grand Design, I'm like, yeah, that's for me. So I'm definitely shouting that one out. And on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick. And this time I'm in the back of the Marvel Supplemental in the Marvel Collected Editions. Now, there are so many omnibus editions. Not all of them are new. There's several reprints in there. So people sometimes look at them and say, oh my god, there's 8 omnibus issue editions. Well, probably 3 or 4 of them are reprints. I mean, they still put out 4 or 5 easily. So Marvel's been cranking these out, but I'm all on board for them. There is a Venom omnibus, you know, Venom one. There's a King in Black omnibus, which I'm probably picking up. There's all kinds of stuff. But I decided I'm just going to pick one. And the one that I'm going to pick, I'm not going to even say it's the best material. It's probably not. But it's something that's near and dear to me. It's on page 87. It's Avengers vs. X-Men Omnibus. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, Jason Aaron, Ed Brubaker, Matt Fraction, Jonathan Hickman, Karen Gillan, Rick Remender, Mark Waid, Chris Gage, and more. That's like, I remember I was starting to get back into comics. It was right around 2011, I think, when this stuff was coming out, 2012, I can't remember. And I'd been watching that television series, Walking Dead. And right after it, Comic Book Men would come on. And Comic Book Men is what got me back into comics, not The Walking Dead. So that Comic Book Men TV show kind of got me back in right around this time. And this was like a big thing that was going on, AVX. And then I remember there's the A plus X, I think it was, right after that. Because I remember picking up the A plus X right off the shelf, you know, the single issues. But this is 1,680 pages. That's freaking huge. That's one of the biggest omnibus from Marvel that you see. Almost 1,700 pages. $150, but it's going to be about 50% off at Deep Discount Comics from Eric on the Slack channel. So hit him up if you want to get a discount and customer service, not just a discount with horrible customer service. He actually gives you great customer service. But this is collecting everything from that event. It's collecting Avengers versus X-Men 0 through 12, AVX versus 1 through 6, I remember those, Avengers versus X-Men Infinite, Academy, Secret Avengers, blah, 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 blah. The list goes on and on. I'm not going to read these all to you. But it's 1,700 pages of material that's probably just going to be kind of nostalgic for me because it's a sweet spot when I was getting back in for the comics for the second time after leaving the hobby for a while. So definitely I would recommend picking it up, and on to my next pick.
Brawlinator here, and I am speaking up about my next pick in the Marvel catalog. Now, I'm only interested in this omnibus this month, and it's a weird one. It's What If Into the Multiverse Volume 1. Now, you may be asking why this is Volume 1, and when the first What If omnibus just came out back in September, and Volume 2 is said to come out in February, I think, next month. So I was sort of wondering, too, what this was, but this new collection due out in August, which will be the third What If omnibus, is called Volume 1, and they're leaning into the multiverse aspect. This was the 1988/89 series. There was a one-shot in 88, and then a Volume 2 proper began in 1989. I just wanted you to know what you're getting. If you like the Disney Plus What If animated series, you're going to love this. You're going to love any of these What If stories. You should know by now what If is. But for this volume, if you ever wondered about that symbiote costume that Venom wears, if it had possessed Spider-Man when it was just known as the alien costume, or what would have happened if the all-new X-Men had died on their first mission to Krakoa, or if Wolverine was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., or if Daredevil killed the Kingpin, and what if Punisher's family had survived? I mean, it's all in here. This hardcover omnibus collects, like I said, that one shot from 88 and issues 1 through 39 of the 1989 series. It is What If Into the Multiverse Volume 1, not Volume 3, and it is supposed to be out, I think, sometime in August. It is found, once again, let's see, page 91 of the Marvel Supplemental Previews.
The next book I want to talk about is in previews on page 27, and it's a free comic book day. One of the gold sponsors is from IDW. It's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles FCBD Special 2022. And the reason I'm so excited about this book is because the writer is Tom Waltz. And Tom Waltz is the original, I guess, writer for the book for almost 100 issues. And looks like he's going to be writing in this issue. And hopefully he's going to be come back as the regular writer in the Ninja Turtles comic book. Because ever since Sophie Campbell took over, I haven't really enjoyed it. It seems like her writing's really decompressed and not a lot's been going on. So I'm really hoping that Tom Waltz, comes back. So the book is called, it's in previews on page 27, and it's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles FCBD Special 2022.
Hey, this is James back with a pick for the previews catalog. And the first thing that caught my eye was the first thing that came out from Image. It's on page 40. Astro City is back from Kurt Busiek. It's not the reprints of his old Astro City material, which all that stuff still needs to come out. But he is expounding upon the Astro City universe with Astro City That Was Then Special. It is a one-shot. It is, the pages, 32 pages for $3.99, come out March 30th, and it says, Astro City returns with an all-new special. Who were the Jayhawks? How did they inspire teen sidekicks looking for answers to hit the road and a rickety crime mobile in 1969? And how will this affect Astro City in the present? This one-shot special features new and existing heroes and launches a mystery that will drive the forthcoming Astro City series. So there's a brand new series coming out, going to be here at Image. And don't miss the Astro City Metro book, collecting the first 3 years of the acclaimed series. So the Metro book is coming out too. I'm going to be picking up all that old stuff. Then we're going to have these new collections that are coming out in singles, which it'll be collected into probably all new Metro books, which I'm assuming is kind of like a compendium or omnibus. I don't know how big the Metro book's going to be. But I'm definitely on board to read this new issue. I'm going to support Kurt Busiek. By the way, the artist is Brent Anderson and Alex Sinclair. And the covers, as always, by Alex Ross. This is a good material. And typically, the cool thing with Astro City is anyone can jump in anywhere, any issue, at any time, without needing to know anything that happened before or after, and read that issue and enjoy it for that issue. I'm not going to say it's always the most groundbreaking, this is the best comic I've ever read, but the accessibility is something to be said about that. I appreciate it. I think he needs to be rewarded for it. He writes solid superhero stuff, and I'm definitely on board for this. I know John's going to be on board for it too, and we're probably going to talk about it in the monthly comic spotlight. So on to my next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick comes from the Image Comics section in previews on page 40 with Astro City, That Was Then, number 1, and this is a one-shot. Written by Kurt Busiek with art by Brent Eric Anderson and Alex Sinclair. Cover A is by Alex Ross, and that's the one I'll be getting because I'm such a fan of Alex Ross, and I always get his covers for the past series of Astro City. Cover B is by Eric Larson. Cover C is by Marcelo Costa. Cover D is by Leandro Fernandez. Cover E is by Jimmy McElvey. Cover F is by Chip Zdarsky. Cover G is by Rob Gilroy. And cover H is a blank cover. Astro City returns with an all-new special. Who were the Jayhawks? How did they inspire 5 teen sidekicks looking for answers to hit the road in a rickety crime mobile in 1969? And how will this affect Astro City in the present? This one-shot special features new and existing heroes and launches a mystery that will drive the forthcoming Astro City series. And don't miss the Astro City Metro book, collecting the first 3 years of the acclaimed series. Scheduled to be in shops on March 30th for $3.99. Astro City is one of my all-time favorite comic book superhero series. It's what is to comic book superheroes what the cable channel VH1 series Behind the Music is to popular and rock and roll music. It takes a look behind the mask of both superheroes and villains, as well as the private citizens who live in a city full of superheroes and supervillains. And when I saw the news on the internet that Kurt Busiek was bringing Astro City back to Image Comics, I was really excited and I was going to make sure I order this series again. When I read my comic books, I always take the one that I'm looking forward to reading the most and put it to the bottom of the pile. And when I get Astro City, That Was Then, number 1, that will probably be at the bottom of my pile that month.
My next pick is on page 40 of the previews catalog. It is Astro City, That Was Then, special number 1. I am a huge Astro City fan, and I am really looking forward to getting some new material out of this. It has been far, far too long since we've gotten it. Again, Billy already mentioned this. He said everything about the Jayhawks and all that stuff, so I'm not going to repeat the solicit, other than this is one of my favorite comic book titles of kind of all time, and I am going to be doing a series of back-issue spotlights on this series. I've had a few people interested in doing it, and I'm actually toying around, and I'd like your input on this, of doing it in a slightly different format, where we go kind of issue by issue, because there's quite a bit that goes on, and have each person record kind of independently, so it'll ease up the coordination of such. And then basically I'll do a basic intro of, okay, here's the high level of what the issue's about, play the clips from the different people, and then I'll come back and do and here's what I thought kind of a segment on it. Because I think there's just so much in this series. It's some great stuff, and I'd love to get a variety of inputs on it and such like that. So, anyways, the clip here is on Astro City, That Was Then, special number 1 on page 40 of the previews catalog. Definitely check it out. If you guys have thoughts as to how we should cover this on a back issue spotlight, please weigh in on that too.
It's Brawlinator again. We are still rocking through the previews section. I'm up in the image section on page 67. And this first showed up actually on Kickstarter, and I just jumped on it. It was for an autographed hardcover over there for a few bucks less than what it's listed here on page 67. But I know Eric from Cowabunga could help you out with that. Nonetheless, I'm very glad to see this being solicited for those that tend to avoid crowdfunded books. It is that classic image title Cyberforce collected for the first time in full, and it's available in both hardback and softcover editions. It's in celebration of the series' 30th anniversary, and this is a 664-page hardcover collection of the original 90s story that launched the Top Cow universe, co-written and drawn by Image co-founder and Top Cow founder Mark Silvestri. The original Cyberforce run has not actually been reprinted in any format since 1994, so this is kind of a big deal, especially if you like Cyberforce. If you're unfamiliar with them, they are a super group of cybernetically enhanced resistance fighters running from this multinational conglomerate that actually created these guys. This collection has got obviously work from Mark Silvestri, but also Jim Lee, Todd McFarlane, Walt Simonson, David Finch, Scott Williams, and many others, including Michael Turner. It collects Cyberforce Zero, Cyberforce 10 Men of War 1 through 4, Killer Instinct, a crossover with Wildcats, 3-issue crossover, Cyberforce Volume 2, 1 through 13, Cyberforce Origins Psyblade and Origins Striker, and of course the annual. Bottom line, if you loved 90s superhero comics, 90s image, these were probably some of the best. Beautiful work, too, by Silvestri and others. Jump on this if you can fit it in your budget. Again, it is over on page 67 in the image section of previews. It's Brawlinator again. I'm on my last collected edition for the month, but I'm only on page 68. I was just talking about Cyberforce on 67. Now I'm over on 68 looking at Hell Cop, Welcome to Hell, Volume 1 from Brian Haberlin. He's doing the writing and the art chores on this. And the basic premise of Hell Cop is in an unspecified future time, humans have broken through dimensional walls, and one of those dimensions is full of demons, sort of like hell. I don't want to spoil it for you, to prevent these inhabitants of hell crossing over into our dimension and causing chaos. We have the Hell Cops, technically known as the Pan-Dimensional Security Corps. I guess that title is probably just not as catchy as Hell Cops. But if you're interested in reading a heady mix of sci-fi fantasy concepts wrapped up with criminal mysteries, throwing simple cops into a world of demons, steampunk-style technology, and multiple dimensions with an ample amount of humor, action, and horror, you may want to check out Hell Cop from Image. Again, that is over on page 68 of this month's previews.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick from Image Comics this month is on page 81 with Lady Mechanica, Monsters of Ministry of Hell, number 4 of a 4-issue miniseries. The writer is Joe Benitez. Art and the main cover is by Beth Sotelo and Joe Benitez, and that's the one I'll be getting. And cover B is by Sia Oom, and I hope I pronounced that name correctly. Lady Mechanica begins to question, who was the true monster of the Ministry of Health? The shocking conclusion to the latest Lady Mechanica miniseries, scheduled to be in shops on March 30th for the cover price of $3.99. If you're a fan of steampunk, then I would recommend you pick up Lady Mechanica, Monster of Ministry of Hell miniseries, and also her past miniseries are available from Image Comics.
Hey, this is James back with a pick, and this time I'm in the Dark Horse section. And what's interesting is typically I've skipped over Dark Horse because there hasn't been a lot that's caught my attention over the last several months. But this time, the first thing that popped off the page, I was like, wow, that's surprising. It is a book on page 94 called We Have Demons. It's number one of three. It's a three-issue miniseries. The creative team is what caught my eye. The writer is Scott Snyder. Yes, Batman. DC Scott Snyder. He's over at Dark Horse. And who did he bring with him? Greg Capullo, one of the favorite artists you know, with a lot of people. People love Greg Capullo. They have three pages of sample art in here. It's amazing. Looks really good. The comic looks really interesting. And I'm going to have to read what this is about for you because we all know the creative team. I just, you know, telling you what We Have Demons is about. I have no clue. By the way, it's $5. It's $4.99, but it is 56 pages, so it's definitely oversized. It says, since the very dawn of man, legends have been told of the conflict between angel and demonkind. Lamb Lyle, a woman of science, dismissed these stories as just that, fiction. But when the loss of a loved one leads to the discovery of a hulking, benevolent demon named Helvis, Lamb realizes that her life is about to undergo a dire new direction. With a newfound partner and awesome powers not at her disposal, our hero suddenly finds herself thrust into a climactic war of good and evil with no less than the fate of the world hanging in the balance. Sounds pretty freaking cool. Oversized, single issues. I'm all in. I'm going to be picking this up. Creative team that everyone likes. Let's do this. On to my next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is in the Dark Horse section on page 103 with Radio Spaceman number 1 of a 2-issue miniseries written by Mike Mignola with art by Greg Hinkle, and the cover is also done by Mike Mignola. When a ship crashes and lands on a mysterious planet and some of the surviving crew go missing, the mysterious mechanical hero Radio Spaceman is called to investigate. But the planet hides much more than the missing crew, and Radio Spaceman may be stumbling into more than even he can handle. Based on Mignola's viral pencil sketches, Radio Spaceman is a steampunk space adventure full of mystery, monsters, and awesome gadgets. Featuring the amazing art of Greg Hinkle, who did The Beauty and Black Cloud, and colors by longtime Mignolaverse collaborator Dave Stewart, this new series is perfect for Mignola fans old and new. It's scheduled to be in shops on March 2nd for the cover price of $3.99. I've enjoyed what I've read of Mike Mignola's work as both a writer and an artist, even though I haven't read a lot of his most famous series, Hellboy, but I enjoy science fiction, and the solicit hooked me into the plot of the story, which has steampunk and some horror mixed into it. So I'm looking forward to reading Radio Spaceman.
This is Nick with a pick from the main previews catalog, this time from page 103 in the Dark Horse comics section. And this definitely stretches the terms of what a miniseries is a little bit. It's number one of two, Radio Spaceman. When a ship crashes and lands on a mysterious planet and some of the surviving crew go missing, the mysterious mechanical hero Radio Spaceman is called to investigate. But the planet hides much more than the missing crew, and Radio Spaceman may be tumbling into more than even he can handle. Based on Mignola's viral pencil sketches, Radio Spaceman is a steampunk space adventure full of mystery, monsters, and awesome gadgets. Featuring the amazing art of Greg Hinkle from The Beauty and Black Cloud, and colors by longtime Mignolaverse collaborator Dave Stewart, this new series is perfect for Mignola fans old and new. And just to highlight kind of why I picked this one, I do follow along with, you know, various artists on Instagram or Twitter, and I've seen some of these sketches from Mignola before, and in my mind, it's kind of the thing that appeals to me about Mignola, is he can make these interesting-looking characters, and he's got such a unique and characteristic style of his, you know, heavy blacks and really kind of a characteristic coloring there also from Dave Stewart that just seems to fit all of his works, that I think it'd be neat to pick up this kind of short story from Mignola, and that's really the way that I read his stories. I'll pick up a Hellboy short story or one of his other, two or three part miniseries, and enjoy them without getting too deep into the main Hellboy stuff. So if you're a fan of Mignola's storytelling and just want something short and different, check this one out. On sale March 2nd for
$3.99. Dr. Mo here with the Dark Horse pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Joy Operations number 5. Brian Michael Bendis's first Jinx World title to be distributed through Dark Horse Comics comes to a thrilling conclusion. Well, we'll see about the thrilling part. We definitely know it's ending. And based on the solicitation text, this appears to be the first miniseries in a series. So I am glad about that. I will say that to me, the star of Joy Operations has been the artist, Stephen Byrne. Stephen has really brought this futuristic world to life. The character of Joy, who is an envoy, is a protector of this city, futuristic city-state under the control of a particular family, is just breathtaking to look at. I love the fact that there's so many little details that Byrne adds that may or may not be in Bendis' script, but certainly creates an atmosphere that I want to be in and play in. Now, I think very much the story in and of itself of a woman, Joy, and I really have to give Bendis and Byrne credit, Stephen Byrne credit for this, that the protagonist is a middle-aged protagonist, which we don't get a lot of, doing a lot of superheroics, who is conflicted because they keep hearing this voice in their head telling them that they're the leader of their city-state corporation is corrupt, is going to destroy the world, and you've got to do something about it. And initially, you know, there is this struggle about whether or not to believe what this voice is telling them. In many ways, this reminds me of this sort of initial conflict that was in Lazarus that we were getting. And sort of, you know, like a similar setup as well with the competing rival corporations / city states, but it's a cleaner looking version of this. It's not like the sort of quasi dystopian aspects that we get with Lazarus, but it very much seems to be, hey, I want to live here. It looks really cool. You know, I'm just subservient to this corporation. Okay. But I'm going to have this really cool futuristic apartment complex. Anyway, the action sequences have been thrilling. I think Bendis is right to let his artist, you know, just take control of this. I will say one of my downsides to this title is I think that there is a lot of excessive adult language. I don't necessarily think that it adds a whole lot, because otherwise it really could be somewhat of an all-ages title. It just feels a little unnecessary. But, and that's one of the gripes that I have against this. And otherwise, I'm really enjoying this. It's a world that I want to revisit again. Hopefully, Bendis and Byrne can reteam on the next series of Joy Operations. Hopefully, my other hope is that Bendis does bring this to a satisfying conclusion. I think that when it's a solo property or in the case of his Marvel's Defenders series, I think books with smaller casts, and i.e. his creator own series, I think he tends to bring those to a much better stopping point than when he's working on larger team books. I've always enjoyed Bendis's solo / smaller books with the smaller number of protagonists much more so than his titles with a pantheon of characters. If you've been reading this book up to this point, you know, hopefully it's been delivering for you and that you'll stay to the end. If you have not, I suggest you sample the first issue, you know, see if it's to your liking, see if it's a world you're interested in, and then pick up the collection. Joy Operations number 5 can be found on page 108 of the previews catalog and costs $3.99.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick in the Dark Horse section is on page 111, with Black Hammer Reborn number 10 of 12, written by Jeff Lemire, with story and cover art by Caitlin Yarsky, which is the cover I'll be getting, and cover B is by Andrea Muti. Lucy Weber has been searching for her father for years, and when he finally appears at her door, he turns out to be from an evil dimension. Will she take his Faustian offer to be a family again, or face off to prove there can only be one Black Hammer? Schedule be in shops on March 23rd for the cover price of $3.99. The Black Hammer universe has been my favorite comic book superhero series since Astro City, and it looks like this miniseries is going to wrap up in a very interesting way.
The book I want to talk about next is in previews on page 122, and it's Godzilla vs. Power Rangers, number 1 of 5. And ever since I've watched MMPR, My Weapon Power Rangers, and saw the Dragon Zord, I was like, oh yeah, wouldn't it be great if, because he kind of looks like a Godzilla character, and then what if Godzilla fought the Dragon Zord? This is like a fanboy come true type of thing. And so, I think this is going to be, you know, really, really epic. And I don't know, dare I say it? I hope no one said it before, but even if someone has before, I'm still going to say it anyway. It's going to be more phenomenal. All right. So, the writer is Colin Bunn and the artist is Freddie Williams II. And the artist also, he's also done Batman and TMNT. So, you know, this is going to be good art. And then, once again, the book is from IDW on page 122 of the preview catalog, and it's Godzilla vs. Power Rangers, number 1 of 5.
My final pick of the month is on page 122 of the previews catalog. It is Godzilla vs. Power Rangers, number 1 of 5. I'm a Power Rangers fan. Godzilla really actually kind of doesn't look like the typical monster they fight. It's more the typical monster like Ultraman would fight, but it's a really cool idea for a crossover, so I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. Michael Ho already talked about this. There's not a whole lot more I can add, although I am curious how they're going to end this, because both are kind of the heroic figure of their respective universes and such. I think it's going to wind up being, at the end, a team-up between Godzilla and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers to go fight Rita. We'll see if that's the case or not. I don't know. That's just kind of what I'm expecting. Either way, should be a ton of fun. Once again, that's Godzilla vs. Power Rangers number 1 of 5 on page 122 of the previews catalog.
What's up, guys? Axeman Patrick here. I'm in the IDW section on page 129. We're looking at Killlock, the Artisan Wraith number 1 of 7, Livio Remendelli. I hope I got that right. Writer, artist, and cover. Full color, 32 pages, $3.99. The Killlock was an awesome book. I read it in the trade, and I'll just read this to you so it might tell you what happened. The Killlock unified four criminals on a quest to escape their seemingly inevitable linked deaths. They managed to escape destruction by merging their consciousness, and now one of the smartest and most malicious bots in the universe has an unbreakable body and a planet at his command. Homeworld won't allow it. So, two of the deadliest assassins in the universe are tasked to kill the Artisan Wraith. So, there was four robots, and they were sentenced to death, but they don't sentence these robots to death. They sent them to a kill lock, where all four of them are got a computer code chipped into them, so if one dies, all four die. And what happened was one of them outsmarted the rest of the other three and got all three consciences into this giant Wraith thing that was like huge and is like a huge armored robot. It's awesome looking. Anyway, so this is a continuation. Now these two robots gotta go find them. It's gonna be awesome. All right, definitely pick it up. On to the next one.
The last book I want to talk about is also in the IDW section. It's on page 135 in previews, and it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Annual 2022. And the solicit says, the turtles embark on a secret mission to their roots, but a mysterious creature hunts them relentlessly. The Turtles would have to find a new way to come together to escape their foe and the pain that haunts them. A special story of remembrance and family, written and drawn by acclaimed artist Junie Ba. I don't know about the creator here, but the synopsis sounds interesting. So if you're a Turtles fan, and maybe give this a shot. Hopefully it will be good. So it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Annual 2022, on page 135 of the previous catalog.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is in the IDW section on page 139 with Usagi Yojimbo number 27. The writer, cover, and story artist is Stan Sakai. The story in this issue is titled A Ghost Story. Usagi and Yukichi come upon a young woman, Shizui, praying at a shrine to a girl murdered 50 years ago by her married lover. Shizui is in the same predicament, and Usagi and Yukichi take it upon themselves to become her protectors. However, all is not what it seems, as the local priest warns them to beware of ghosts in the area. Scheduled to be in shops on March 16th for the cover price of $3.99. I love Stan Sakai as an artist and storyteller. He explores Japanese culture and history as well as folklore, and he never fails to deliver a story with some interesting twists and turns and a satisfying conclusion. Billy Hogan again. My final pick is still in the IDW section on the very next page, number 140, with Usagi Yojimbo, Lone Goat and Kid, number 3 of a 6-issue miniseries. The writer and story artist is Stan Sakai, and the cover is done by David Peterson, artist and creator of the Mouse Guard series, which I would also highly recommend you check out. Featuring the start of the classic two-part tale, Blood Wings, Usagi has stumbled into a village besieged by ruthless bat ninjas. With seemingly no way out and a new conspiracy to thwart, Usagi will have to use all of his wits to escape. Scheduled to be in shops on March 30th for the cover price of $3.99. I'm glad that IDW is reprinting past Usagi Yojimbo stories, since I'm a little late to the party, but I have bought the first volume of the original Fantagraphic series of Usagi Yojimbo, and I hope to collect the entire series eventually, and many series like this one by IDW makes it easier to check out some of the earliest Usagi Yojimbo stories. Thank you, John, for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. And I want to thank everyone else who provided clips for this preview spotlight episode. I enjoy listening to what everyone else is reading. I hope all of you continue to stay safe and healthy as we continue to deal with yet another variant of the coronavirus. And if you haven't been vaccinated, I would encourage you to do so. And let's not forget to take care of each other out there.
This is Nick with a pick from the main previews catalog, this time for page 192. In the Boom Studios section, it's Jim Henson's The Storyteller's Shapeshifters, number 1 of 4. Written by Andre R. Fratino and illustrated by Nori Rutherford. Here we've got the main cover by Mike Del Mundo. And this is going to be $4.99 for 32 pages. I've really appreciated this whole series of miniseries, and I've called them out before on the preview spotlight, but it uses the framework of Jim Henson's The Storyteller to tell these stories of myths and legends of certain types from around the world. So we've gotten like tricksters and ogres or trolls or something like that, dragons, and now we're talking about shapeshifters. And it says here, the writer Andre R. Fratino from Simon Says Nazi Hunter spins a tale about the Celtic myth of the Children of Lear. Dane, a nefarious, power-hungry magic user, and Lear's brother-in-law, plots to steal the throne from Lear and his family by turning Lear's children into swans and ascending the throne himself. Fiona, the oldest, wants to gain revenge against Dane in order to continue her quest to help her father secure his fierce and fearsome legacy as a renowned warrior. While Fiona attempts to find a way to break their curse, the Swan Children are forced to wander near and far for nearly 1,000 years. They endure much hardship and sorrow, but face the curse together, finding solace and strength in one another.
Brawlinator again. I'm on page 210. This is my final pick this month. It is from Ablaze. I'm sure many of you could already guess by now, but it is not a collected edition. It's my only solo floppy this month. I'm ordering some others, but they just didn't warrant a mention. But this is the latest Sumerian title, a.k.a. Conan, for those in the know, from Ablaze. It's called Hour of the Dragon. It's on page 210, like I said. And this is an adaptation of the only full-length Conan novel written by Robert E. Howard. That's right. Howard wrote mostly short stories, so this title stands apart and is considered by many to be one of his best works. Ablaze is now adapting it into a comic miniseries by Julian Blundell and Valentin Secker. I'm not sure how to say that, but man, he is definitely one of the most talented artists I think Ablaze has ever had on these Conan-adjacent series of books. Really good looking. Valentin Secher. Just do a internet search for that and look at the images. He's really good. I'm excited for this. And Ablaze is really turning up the heat with a lot of new titles, not just Sumerian. So flip back and forward in front of and behind page 210 in the previous catalog. See if anything grabs you by the throat. I hope everybody's going all the way to the back of the book. I look forward to everyone's picks this month. That's it for me. Thanks again to John and everyone that helps make the Comic Book Page podcast and the Slack channel so fun and informative. I think it's a great community, and I encourage others to join. Thanks again. Talk to you next month, and I'll see you on the Slack channel.
Dr. Mo here with an Ahoy pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's The Wrong Earth, trapped on Teen Planet. Number one. Yeah, that title is a bit of a mouthful, but, you know, what can you say? It is what it is. I'm really interested in seeing the Wrong Earth baton being passed off to writer Gail Simone. Typically, Tom Pyre has written the various Wrong Earth series, whether it's The Wrong Earth Night and Day, or the Dragonfly, Dragonfly Man miniseries. So, Simone is, it's done a lot of humor comics, certainly knows superhero books, very capable writer. I like her work tremendously. I'm kind of glad that Ahoy feels comfortable in their position in the marketplace, in The Wrong Earth as a property, that they can allow other creators to come in and play within this space. Because after all, The Wrong Earth is about the multiverse, and that's its bread and butter since day one, and building it out should be a bit of fun. Now, the artwork for this issue is being provided by Bill Morrison, who worked on a lot of Simpsons comics for Bongo back in the day, and Walter Giovanni, who I know has done work for Dynamite, Vampirella, and so forth. So I'm kind of curious about how those two styles will mesh. I get the feeling that it's probably going to be multiple stories. Ahoy tends to do that. This is going to be a bigger issue, which, given the price point of $4.99, I would not expect anything less. So if you are a fan of The Wrong Earth, hey, hopefully this will tide you over until Tom Pyre, Jamal Igel are ready to resume the next installment of The Wrong Earth. But I will say that this is a series of one-shots. And so I guess just think about it like when Grant Morrison did Multiversity, and you'll kind of just run with it. The Wrong Earth, Trapped on a Teen Planet, number one, can be found in the Ahoy section of previews on page 237 and costs $4.99.
Hey, this is James, back with another pick. I'm in the back half of the previews catalog, and this time I'm looking at a series, a new one from AWA, called Hit Me. It is written by Krista Faust, illustrated by Priscilla Petrades, I don't know how you say her name, so don't blame me if I butcher that. But this one caught my eye, because not just because it's a new series, but I typically jump on all the new series from AWA. They've had fantastic stuff. It's a high-octane crime thriller from Krista. She's the one who created Bad Mother and Redemption. I enjoyed both of those series from AWA. So when I saw that she was the one writing this, I was like, oh, that's going to be solid. And the artist is the one who did Chariot, which Chariot, I thought the art in it was better than actually even the story. So Lulu has a very unique profession. She gets paid by the bruise. When she is witness to the execution of one of her regular clients, she escapes into the night with a briefcase filled with diamonds and a pack of killers on her trail. Navigating the dark underbelly of decaying early 1990s Atlantic City, one step ahead of her pursuers, Lulu must call upon one of her street-born instincts and underworld connections, and will be the longest and possibly last night of her life. Sorry for the butchery, I'm not wearing my reading glasses, I'm trying to squint and read this. So Lulu looks like an Asian-American character, that works for me, the art was going to work for me, and I like this writer, what she's done in the past, I think it could be a cool book. So I'm definitely picking this one up, and on to my next pick.
What's up guys, Axeman Patrick here, I am in the ADW section. I'm on page 258 looking at Hit Me, number 1 of 5, written by Krista Faust, illustrated by Priscilla Petrates, something like that, colored by Marco Lesko, cover by Jeff Deckel. High-octane crime thriller from Krista Faust, who wrote Bad Mother and Redemption, and Priscilla, who I guess she was the artist of Chariot. Lulu has a very unique profession. She gets paid by the bruise. When she is the witness of an execution of one of her regular clients, she escapes into the night with a briefcase full of diamonds and a pack of killers on her trail. Navigating the dark underbelly of decaying early 90s Atlantic City, one step ahead of her pursuers, Lulu must call upon every one of her street-born instincts and underworld connections in what will be the longest and possible the last night of her life. So I wanted to check this out. Seems weird, different, so I found Krista Faust on the internet and found her bibliography and her also about her. So she's like a 50s probably biker chick that loves writing crime noir books, and she was a dominatrix, and yeah, she's been everywhere. She's a New York born, lives in Cali now. The book looks interesting. It may not be up John's alley, but it'll probably be more like, I'm trying to think of the book I just read. It'll probably be just like Gun Honey. Pick it up, read it, let me know what you guys think on that Slack channel. On to the next pick.
This is Nick with a pick from the main previews catalog, this time from page 291 in the Fantagraphics section. It's Mickey Mouse Zombie Coffee, a slipcase hardcover listed at 80 pages, and for $24.99. out in May of 2022. So a little bit of an advanced preview here. And let me read you the description and tell you why I'm picking this one up. It says, award-winning French cartoonist / Disney animator Régis Loisel presents an amazing brand new Mickey adventure set in Mickey's classic 1930s golden age. Mickey, Minnie, Donald Duck, Horace Horsecollar, and Clarabelle Cow go camping to forget the Great Depression. But when they return to Mouston, they find shady real estate developer Rock Fuller destroying it to build a golf course. With the help of an army of zombies transformed from normal citizens with a magic drink, what does Mickey's old enemy Pegleg Pete have to do with this evil scheme? And can Mickey trip it up? Famed French cartoonist Régis Loisel won the Angoulême International Comics Festival's grand prize in 2006 and has been nominated in other years for numerous projects. Loisel has also worked as a Disney animator and was thrilled to produce the stellar tribute. Zombie Coffee is told in the daily comic strip serial style of Disney legend Floyd Gottfredson's beloved early Mickey adventures, packed with action, laughs, and magnificent details that explode off the pages. This deluxe edition is a landscape formatted hardcover that comes in a portrait formatted slipcase, and so the buyer can shelve it vertically but read it in its full CinemaScope style glory. And I wanted to highlight this because I think it would be easy to overlook for fans of Mickey Mouse or Disney cartoons as it's being printed by Fantagraphics, but they had partnered up several years ago with a couple of European comics creators to create some sort of off-the-wall and not quite, you know, made for Saturday morning cartoon style Disney comics. There was one, it was like a Incomplete Mysteries of Mickey Mouse, and another one about sort of Mickey and a Goofy and a long adventure across the country. And, you know, here kind of the themes of the Great Depression and wacky stuff like zombies popping up and a evil developer coming across town. You know, those aren't the things that you usually would see in a Mickey Mouse cartoon or comic, but something to sort of let these other established names play with the characters a little bit. And those other comics were really fun, and I think this one will be great also. It's nice to see them finally going back to that format. So check this out if you are a fan of Disney or Mickey Mouse comics specifically.
Hey, this is James back with another pick. This time I'm in the humanoid section, where we have Asphalt Blues on page 308. And it looks like the author, story, and artist is a person named, I don't know if it's spelled J-A-O-U-E, Joan, I don't know how you pronounce that name, sorry, no clue. And anyways, it's under sci-fi romance. It's $35 for a hardcover, 208 pages. And it says, a cinematic thriller for fans of Danish film director Nicholas Winding Refn, I'm butchering his name too, 2038. It's been 13 years since Nina and Mick split up. Both have since rebuilt their lives, but at what cost? Nina lives with a powerful man who is jealous of her attraction to others, while Mick's wife suffers from severe depression. The two former lovers don't know it, but their daily lives remain intertwined, each moment intersecting with another, driving towards the cataclysmic actions of both grand and personal scales, culminating in a deeply poetic and sensual exploration of the disenchantment of love. So it's from up-and-coming French writer and artist Jaoun. I don't know how you pronounce that. It's a deluxe oversized. I'm definitely going to pick this up. The art looks interesting on this. It definitely sounds like a more mature title, which is stuff that I like. So if it sounds like it's up your alley, pick this one up. And I got one more from Humanoids I'm going to call out. Hey, this is James, and this is going to be my last pick. I'm in the Humanoids section, second Humanoids thing I'm calling out. And first of all, I just wanted to say thank you to all of you guys for sending in your picks. I saw there's like 7 or 8 people on the forums who've already submitted their picks at the time I'm recording this. And so I just appreciate that. And thank you, John, for hosting this. But my last pick is going to be on page 312. It is the free comic book day, the Ink All Universe. It's only 35 cents, 32 pages. So writers, Brandon Peterson, Dan Walters, Mark Russell. Artist Pete Woods, John Davis Hunt, Yannick Paquette. So, what it says about the Ink All universe, Jodorowsky and Mobius, the Ink All was a shot across the bow of graphic storytelling. I have that in multiple forms. An epic explosion of staggering art, mind-blowing world-building, and ambitious plotting that combined to make one of the most influential comics of all time. I agree with that. Now, 42 years after its initial publication, and with major movie adaptation in the works, yep, I've been talking about that on the Slack channel and in my last recording, I think, from filmmaker Taika Waititi. Oh god, I butchered that. The Ink All verse expands with three extraordinary new series: Kill Wolfhead by Brandon Peterson and Pete Woods, Dying Star by Dan Waters and John Davis Hunt, and Psychoverse by Mark Russell and Yannick Paquette. Get your first look here. So literally, they built this world, the Ink All. This came out a long time ago. Jodorowsky and Mobius. I've been telling people to read this probably 100 times in the preview spotlights. Now it's coming out to the big screen. It's in filming production. They're going to have these three spin-off series with these different creative teams with characters from the Ink All universe. This is giving you a first look, 32 pages, 35 cents. You can't go wrong. Spend 35 cents and see if you like it. I honestly like the original Ain't Call. I have no clue if I like these new books, but I'm going to give it a shot. For 35 cents, what do you have to lose? So that's it, and until next month, I bid you guys adieu.
This is Nick with another pick from the main previews catalog, this time from In the Way Back on page 357 from the Tashin America section of the catalog. This is Marvel Comics Library Spider-Man Volume 1 hardcover. Now, this is a special collection because you don't expect this to be a Marvel production, but Tashin collects, you know, art books and photography collections and things like that, as well as every once in a while, these classic reproductions of different comics or comic series. You know, I'm thinking of the fact that I have a very large, oversized collection of Little Nemo comics from them from several years ago. Well, this time they're doing that same type of production, one of their XXL-sized volumes at a dimension of 11 by 16 inches. And what really makes this special is it's the first of a series of these collections that they're going to be doing for Marvel, I think including later maybe Doctor Strange, the Fantastic Four, probably I think I saw Thor on there, and maybe one or two others. And their goal is to provide high quality scans of really good grade comics from collectors who've had their issues slabbed by CGC in the past, and allowing, again, really pristine imagery to be shared of what these original comics look like to readers today. So instead of looking at the cleaned up, digitized versions that circulate through the digital apps, you'll actually be able to see what the pages looked like, and in an 11 by 16 dimension. So kind of, I think of this as sort of like an omnibus on steroids. And let me just read to you the description here. It says, this XXL-sized volume collects the classic first 21 stories of the world's favorite web-slinger from 1962 to 64. The most pristine pedigreed comics have been cracked open and photographed for reproduction in close collaboration with Marvel and Certified Guarantee Company, or CGC, with an in-depth historical essay by Marvel editor Ralph Macchio, original art, rare photographs, and other gems. These 698 pages of wall-crawling wonder will make anyone's spider sense tingle with anticipation. Note the first time in previews, and that's because this is currently available for sale from Tashin directly, or you can order it here from your local comic shop or online discount retailer, maybe for a little bit of a discount. Listed at $200, this certainly isn't cheap, but will hopefully be, in my mind, the best way that you can read those original Spider-Man stories by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko.
I hope everyone found something of interest in the pre-order catalogs this month. Now, I'm still putting my order together, so I don't have the usual breakdown of what I'm getting from who yet. I'll be working on that as I have some time and stuff, obviously, before I put my order in. Things are a little chaotic these days with the catalog shipping schedule. They seem to be working on a different one for Marvel and DC than previews, and honestly, it's a pain. As I'm recording this, I still don't have my DC Connect or Marvel previews. Now, they should be, hopefully, in the shipment that I'm getting this evening. But, again, I'm recording this without that, using digital copies that are available online. Now, you can find digital versions of the pre-order catalogs over at the different distributor sites. Now, previewsworld.com/catalog is where you'd find the previews stuff, previews catalog and such. www.lunardistribution.com is where you'd find the Lunar catalogs. Catalogs, because they've got both the DC Connect, and now they've started their own Next Phase catalog, which has a few small publishers. Over at Penguin Random House, go to prhcomics.com/catalog/category/monthly-catalogs. And if you go to the main page, it's pretty easy to go navigate to that. That's where you can get the Marvel previews and Penguin Random House's catalog. If you go to alternateworlds.com.au/preorder-catalogs, you can find PDFs of all of them. And again, it's pretty easy to go navigate their website and find that from it. If you go to their website and go basically just to their main site. I'm pulling it up now, seeing if I can follow along and give you the right advice. I believe if you just click on the pre-orders catalog on the blue line of kind of the secondary part of the menu, you go there, it goes straight to it and such. So again, easy to go find this. All this information's available digitally and such. So to make things more predictable moving forward, because I'm getting a little tired and confused of having to go shift the deadline around, the deadline is going to default, and stress on default, to the second Saturday of every month, regardless of when these catalogs ship. We can get this stuff digitally. If you need help, post on the forum, on Slack, we can help you out. Now, I say the default because things may need to change. So always check the front page of the comic book page website for the latest information on the deadline. I'll also have that in the forum thread. Now, currently, the only known expectation to the second Saturday deadline is probably going to be July of 2022. I got something I got to do that weekend, so I'm going to need to have that deadline be probably Monday, July 4th, 9 a.m. that morning. More information as we get closer to it. But at this point, I'm expecting the next deadline to be 9 a.m. the morning of Saturday, February 12th. Again, check the website for more information. If you have questions, reach out. If you need a little more time, reach out. It's really, I can be flexible on this. I will be flexible on this as much as I can be, at least. Now, I've made a video recording of me recording my clips for this month. I'll try to put that available on the website as soon as I can, just in case you guys want to know how I record these clips. It's not to say it's the only way or even the best way to record these clips. It's just kind of how I do it. I'm also going to put another one together if I can on how I edit my clips and how I put together the previews spotlight itself to give you guys a little more context on how and why of the naming convention and stuff like that. Hopefully, like I said, you guys found some interesting stuff in the previews catalog this month. I want to thank everybody for sending in clips. So thank you, Kyle and Drew, for Comics for Fun and Profit. Man, those guys get their clips in early enough this time. They came around for a second helping down the line, which was cool. But thank you, James, Mo, Billy, Michael, Brawlinator, Patrick, and Nicholas. This would have been a much shorter episode without you guys, so I appreciate you sending in clips. And if you didn't send in a clip this time and there's something you think should have been highlighted, well, it's on you. We have an open submission policy. Everyone is welcomed and encouraged to send in clips as often as they can to help support the comics they love. With that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.